that I get to celebrate Father's Day with some amazing, with some amazing fathers, you all. Father's Day, extremely important, you all. So can we take some time out real quick? And how about we stand to our feet and let's make some noise for the amazing fathers in our house, you all. Let's give it up for them. Come on, man. Amen. Well, you all, I was born in 1985, right? I'm a young buck, but for some of y'all, y'all like, man, he's old as all get out. Well, I was born in 1985, and I grew up, you know, and I grew up watching those classic family TV shows that aired in the late 1980s and the early to mid 1990s. And you know them, you all, the Full House, the Cosbys, the Wonder Years, Family Matters, and my all-time favorite, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. All-time favorite. You all, see, I was glued to that TV screen when those shows came on. And I couldn't wait to see, y'all, what kind of trouble the Winslow family would get into. And what we'll do to kind of tick off Uncle Phil. Matter of fact, do we got that picture up there? You got those TV dads up there? Y'all, look at those. Y'all remember, does that bring back good memories? At least for me. I couldn't wait to see what bad decision Michelle Tanner would do to force, you know, Danny Tanner and Uncle Jesse and Joey to intervene. Like, church, for those 22 minutes, the 10-year-old Richard was in a fantasy world, and I dreamed of being those TV sons. Like Will Smith, Theo Huxtable, Kevin Arnold, y'all remember the Wonder Years? Eddie Winslow, like they would get themselves into such a dilemma that it had the possibility of completely ruining their lives. But the last 5 minutes of the show, coming to save the day, was those good old TV dads. They would come in and they will fix the dilemma, they will fix the problem, and then those last 5 minutes, they would give that, you know, the show would cue the cheesy, stringy, you know, motivational monologue speech, and they would come down, son, you know it's probably a bad idea to stick your face in the trash compactor, you know. That's a bad idea. But, you know, and then the kids would be like, yeah, I was. I just keep messing up. Well, son, you're not as half as dumb as you look. I love you. You're a Winslow. And then the show would go off and everything would be perfect. Y'all, I love those TV shows. I loved it, y'all. And again, for those 22 minutes, I was just in a fantasy world. It was perfect. But here's the problem. For me, church, it was only 22 minutes. Only 22 minutes. The show would end, and I would turn off the TV, and then I had to step back into my reality. You see, in my reality, there was no Uncle Phil. There was no Danny Tanner. There was no Carl Winslow. There was no father in my home to help solve my dilemmas. No father to tuck me in the night. No father to read me a bedtime story. No father to teach me how to throw a curveball, to teach me how to fight, to tie a tie, to shave, to change a tire, to pursue a girl. There was no father in my house to teach me all of those things I saw those TV dads did. And that church greatly affected how I viewed God. Greatly affected. See, during those formative years, I submitted to God's pursuit and I came to know him. And see, I had no problem believing that God was the master creator of all things. No problem. No problem believing that God, you know, orchestrated two of every animal to come in an ark and the flood came. Like, no problem believing that. None. Even to this day, not at all. I had no problem believing that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. No problem believing that we could do nothing to escape God's love. And that one day all of the saints will be in heaven with him forever, where there's no darkness, no sickness, no problems. Everything is perfect. No problem believing in that. My struggle came from hearing verses like Psalm 68:5, which says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling." Like, wait a minute. A father to the fatherless. Like, that was speaking directly to me because I was the fatherless. And see, having a father was something that I longed for. It was something that I highly esteemed. And so I would say, God, if you're going to claim to be my father, then you're going to have to do so much more than just tell me. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to. I can't just read stuff like I read, you know, the other animals are coming in the ark and, okay, I'm just going to have to believe that. No. Like, being a father is so important, God. I can't believe it by just reading it. You're going to have to flat out show me or I'm not going to believe. If you're going to claim to be my father, you got to do more than just say it. You're going to have to give me the identity like Phil Huxtable gave his children. You're going to have to supply me with the protection like Carl Winslow did for Eddie. You're going to have to give me the comfort like Danny Tanner protected his children. God, if you claim to be my father, you can't flake out. You have to show up. You're going to be my father. You're going to have to show up because my earthly father didn't. Well, everybody, one of my favorite quotes in one of my favorite movies of all time, Forrest Gump. Well, God showed up. You see, the God the Father, he gave me an identity. And that's my first point, you all. God gives us an identity. In Psalm 139, 14, verse 14, David says, "I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." See, fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made, y'all. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. And so whenever we hear the word fearful, it doesn't mean that God created us to be scary. Like, that doesn't happen. This is what it means, you all, that if we're fearfully made, it means that the created object, hear me, the created object is suited to produce reverence or fear. I'm going to repeat that. The created object, that's you and I, are produced to create reverence or fear. So hear this. So if you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that means the creation, you and I, were so beautiful, so magnificent, so special, so unique, so glorious, that by simply looking at us, the world, everybody should say, the person who made that, the person who made you, that's special. The person who made you, I'm in awe of the person who made you. The person who made you deserves to be worshiped. God created us to bring about that response. How incredible are you? One evening I was going fishing with my buddy, and he was driving the boat pretty fast. We're going down Bull Shoals. It's evening, gorgeous outside, and so he's running the boat pretty fast, and all of a sudden he came to like an immediate stop. And so I'm thinking like, oh, he must saw fish busting or something like that. Oh, this might be a really good area. And so as soon as he stopped the boat, I went in the back and I'm getting all of my stuff ready to fish, and he puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, "Oh, just stop." And I'm just looking at him, and he's just quiet. And he's looking at the pink evening sky. And he's looking at the evergreens on the foothill mountains. And then he's looking at the calmness, you know, at the calm of the waters and how it separates, you know, the mountains. And he's looking at all of this stuff. And then he starts to tear up. And then he says, and I quote, "Is this not the most beautiful sight that you've ever seen? How can anybody deny the existence of God when something like this, how beautiful this is, exists? How?" You all, when people look at you, and when you look at others, how can one deny the existence of God? When people look at you in all of your God-given beauty, when you look at others in all that God-given beauty, you should immediately acknowledge, like, man, your creator. Wow. Who are you, church? You are God's creation. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of your identity. 1 Corinthians says that you are washed, sanctified, and justified. 1 Peter said that we all are spiritual houses. We're a holy priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation. Philippians says that we all are citizens of heaven. Romans says that we are more than conquerors. 1 Corinthians says that we are one with the Lord. Matthew 5 says that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. God is a good father. And good fathers give their children their identities. Amen? Next point, you all. God the Father gave me protection. God the Father gives us protection. I love when dads come and save the day. I remember one day, the girls were just going crazy. Now, I was gone doing something. I was at work. I was doing something. And the girls were just really just going crazy in the house. And Heidi was having a problem reining everything in. I mean, the girls were going nuts. And they've been doing that for hours. And then I come in. And they're like, "Daddy!" And they're celebrating my arrival whenever I came into the house. And again, they were still going crazy. And Heidi was like, "Look, Richard, you're going to have to do something with your daughters." That's how you know it's bad, when she goes, "You have to do something with your daughters." So I'm like, okay. And this doesn't happen often. But just one time, "Maggie, I need you to have a seat over there. I need you to calm down." "Yes, Father." "Have a seat." "Violet, hey, stop crying. You know, wipe your face and go have a seat. Let's have a good time, all right? Let's just sit and just chill for a little bit. It's quiet time." "Yes, Father, I will be quiet." And they went and they sat down. And so I'm thinking at this time, I'm like, yes, I'm there, you know, I hoped. And Heidi, who I thought was going to sing my praises, was mad. Like, "What you mad at me for? For hours they won't listen to me. They just come in here and want to hear." "I thought I was protecting you. My bad." She doesn't talk like that, sorry. But you can't do it. I have immunity today. It's Father's Day. So, yeah, give me tomorrow. But I love when dad comes and saves the day. Love it. And I always dreamed of being that person. Y'all, I got a video to check. Yeah, want y'all to check out a video. These are dad saves.
Whoa, that was close.
Я это снял, Артём, как ты я на лету поймал.
Да, видишь?
I'll turn it up a little bit.
Dad's awesome.
Check this out. Be careful.
Oh.
I got you.
Good save.
Come on. Hurry up, get out of the way.
Check this one out. Look at that. Look at that. Good. Talking about a catch. Cardinals need to sign him. You all, I love when dad comes to save the day, when dad offers us protection from sure harm. Sure harm. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord, check this out, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous man runs into it, and he's safe. You know, whenever the last time I went to China, we preached in the underground church. Now, and we got specific instructions from the leaders there. They said, like, look, on the days that you're going to go teach, what you need to do, you need to hide your identities. You need to cover your face. You need to put your hoodies on. You need to wear long sleeves. And you need to constantly put your head down. And whenever you get out of the bus, or whenever you get off of the bus, or whenever you get out of the van, you need to sprint inside of the building. Remain quiet, put your head down. And once you get inside of the building, remain quiet, and then you get into that special room, then you're safe. Then you can rejoice God. Then that's when you can rejoice God. That's when you can. That's when we can provide the word. That's when we can love on one another. Because you see, we were not safe outside of that building. Because outside of that building, that's where sure harm was ready. You had spies constantly around lurking to find out, you know, if these Christians are going to teach disciple making. I mean, giving them the gospel. You had people actively looking to seek to harm you, actively doing that. But when we went inside of the building, we were safe. This word again says, the name of the Lord is our strong tower. And the righteous man runs into it and he's safe. God is the walls that's on the outside of the city. And inside of his walls, we are safe. And once you're in those walls, whenever you're in that fortified building, there is nothing that anybody could do to remove you from that building. Nothing. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, for I am convinced that neither life nor angels nor demons, neither death or life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There is nothing that was created that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. If that ain't a father's love, if that ain't a father's protection, I don't know what is. John 10:29 says, my Father, Jesus says this, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. Growing up, all I wanted was protection from my Father. Little did I know, God has always been there. He has always protected me. Good fathers protect their children, and God protects his children. Amen? And lastly, God gives us comfort. when Maggie was around two, what seemed like for a couple of months, about every night she would struggle with night terrors. I mean, it would be like 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and Maggie, she would just scream. Like scream loud, and we will run in thinking that somebody's in the room, something is happening, and what she's doing, she's having these night terrors, and in her mind, she was convinced, like random stuff happened. She was convinced there were snakes in the bed. She was convinced like there were bears in the closet or bats flying around, you know, and I would like to say I'm making this stuff up, but this is true. She was convinced that all of these things were in the room, and they were there to harm her. Convinced. And she would cry out and she would scream out. And so what Heidi and I would do, we would run inside of that room. And then what I would do, I would just put my hand on her chest, flip on the light, put my hand on her chest. I'm like, all right, Maggie, look at me. Look at me. And then she would calm down. She would look at me. I said, take a deep breath. She goes, I take another. Take another. So we would take several deep breaths. And then we would say, hey, we're here. No snakes in the bed. No bears in the closet. No bats. No matter how many times we told her that, she would still believe it. But then she would say, well, sleep with me. Lay down with me. Let me go in your bed. Now, again, in her mind, snakes were still there. In her mind, the bear was still there. In her mind, the bats were still there. But you see, she wasn't worried about the snakes. She wasn't worried about the bats. She wasn't worried about the bears when the presence, when she was in the presence of her father. Get where I'm going here, you all? Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you, God the Father, are with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So you all, even though we walked through the valley of the shadow of death, even though we walked in the midst of persecution, even though we walk in the midst of heartache, even though we walk in the midst of being sorrow, even though we walk in the midst of war and depravity and separation, even though it seems like death is reigning, we can rejoice in the fact that God is Emmanuel. God is with us. And even though we experience all these things, we cannot fear because he's there to offer protection and he's there to offer comfort. Chill, I'm with you. Deuteronomy 31, 8 through 9 says, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And because of that, because he would never leave us, because he is there. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Joshua 1, 9 through 10 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. It seems like Maggie and Violet, they're afraid of everything. Everything. But you know what changes the game? Is whenever she's in the presence of her father. Because she knows if her father is with her, if her father is with her, I'm going to tell you where to go. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to give you that identity, who you are. And let me tell you what, even though there may be some dark, scary things around, don't worry, I'm going to protect you. And the times that you feel discouraged, the times you feel brokenhearted, the times you feel unsure, don't fear, girl. I'm going to offer you comfort. Said that earlier, God showed up. I was a fatherless boy. But let me tell you this. God even knows what it feels like All right? God the Father knows what it feels like to be separated from his Son. When Jesus was on the cross, taking the weight of everybody's sins, you got to think, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from God. And when Jesus, who lived perfectly, was on the cross, he looked to God and goes, God, why have you forsaken me? That relationship, that perfect relationship, that relationship that was never broken between Father and Son, we were separated. But this is what's so beautiful. God defeated that separation, bringing reconciliation. Some of you all in here, you probably didn't have the best dad at all. God knows what that feels like. But despite what sin did, what caused it, you know, despite the sin just trying to destroy that relationship, God defeated that sin. And since he defeated that sin, you all, you and I, can be called children of God. We don't have to be, we don't have to walk in that same path that our fathers did. And God the Father is there in the midst of all of that trouble. He's a father to the fatherless. He gives us identity. He gives us protection. And he gives us comfort. Amen. That tough relationship with my dad growing up. And I remember Heidi's mom, whenever I was in college, said, whatever your earthly dad didn't give you, he would make up for. And good night, he did. He did. And so, while God was working out our relationship between me and my dad, how God softened both of our hearts. And as we're reconciling this relationship, I wrote my dad a poem that I'm just going to share with you all. Let me share. It's called Father Figure.